This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
All right, we are set to go. So good to have you along here. John Scholes in attendance, as always, hosting this puppy. And with me, employment lawyer Darren Saul. You reach out to Darren anytime, by the way, when we're not doing the show. Ready to answer your questions during the week, especially 1-855-821-5900, help@employmentlawyer.ca. But right here, right now, as just mentioned, yeah, we're here for the hour, so call us live and ask your questions. Save some time, get some quick answers, and be that third person on air with us. That toll-free number again, 1-877-399-9898 is the way we like to roll. The main topic here in just a few moments will be, so what does an employment lawyer actually do? We'll get to some of those points, and I know Darren wants to expand on each of the points as we go through, but first we always start off with the case of the day or something you've been working on, pal. What do you got?
Thanks a lot, John. Thanks for having me here. Appreciate it. Before we jump into everything today, I actually had a very, very interesting case cross my desk earlier this week. It was an individual who was actually being terminated from a very, very large company. I'll keep the company's name out of it for now. But what happened, he'd been working there for about 15 years. A long service guy. He's been, loyal to the company the last 15 years. Turns out they're going to be moving some operations around and he's being let go. What was interesting about this is, he didn't sign an employment contract when he first started 15 years ago. And in January of this year, about 4 months before, the company was looking to terminate him, they gave him a new employment contract to sign. And lo and behold, this new employment contract basically just spelled out what he was already doing for the last 15 years. And they said, well, this is basically just to formalize things and then we'll move forward. Lo and behold, I mean, he smelled something a little fishy, but, he'd been with this employer for so long. He figures, okay, I'll sign this and then let's move forward. The contract had a termination clause in there now. And prior to this, without an employment contract, the guy who called wasn't subject to any limits on his rights or entitlements upon termination for severance or notice or anything like that. And this new contract restricted him severely to just the minimums, so 15 years. And when he was terminated, the company said, well, you signed the contract and you're out of here with 8 weeks of notice after 15 years. And, understandably, he called me distraught. He's got three kids and a wife at home. He's got a family to provide for. And he's like, 2 months, what's this going to do for me? I felt for him and luckily the way that this occurred, I'll talk a bit more about that, but I'm going to help him. When you're given a contract like this, there's some basic stuff to know for contracts and you have to be given something for it. In most cases, when you sign a contract, it's before you start a job and you sign the contract, you're given the job in exchange for that. It makes the contract enforceable. Here, he's been working for 15 years. He got nothing for this. In fact, he had things taken away. I feel for him. I'm going to help him, get him the compensation he's deserved. 15 years, he's in a fairly senior position. I mean, he could be looking as much as 18, 19 months of severance. We're going to go through that together. And it's a significant difference from, 2 months. So he was happy when he heard that and I'm going to give him a hand. And this does happen, more often than people think.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned that, and when you say given something for it, it's the job initially when you first start a job, you sign the contract, we're giving you employment. That's the thing. But, midstream, 15 years on, even if he signs that contract and he isn't given what you guys refer to as consideration, a pay raise, extra week holiday, a new car, something. I mean, is this even legally binding at that point? Is that why you can help him and get the proper severance for this? Because he wasn't given anything for signing that contract 15 years later?
That's exactly it, John. He wasn't given anything for this. And it's a very simple thing just to be given anything. It could be like you said, a gift card. It could be a car. It could be a raise, a promotion, but you got to be, you're signing something that restricts your rights. You got to be given something for that in order to make that legally enforceable. And in this case, because he wasn't, I'm going to be able to help him. That's not going to be, enforceable. That contract is not going to restrict his rights. And he's going to get his full entitlements. He's going to get his full severance.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we always say in the show, as you know, Darren, that any time you're working somewhere and then a contract is slid, it's never to your advantage. It's never for, hey, we're going to be even nicer to you. It's never good for you. It's always on the side of the employer. I mean, the playing field slanted their way. If they're sending you a contract, well, you're already working there, right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. And I mean, it's, you know, regardless of how much you trust your employer, how great they've been to you, the purpose of a contract is to spell out entitlements. And, you know, in all of those cases, you know, when people come to me and they're like, you know, hey, Darren, I've just got terminated. Unfortunately, I don't have a contract. And I'm like, no, that's awesome. Not how you look at that. It's thankfully you don't have a contract, because the only thing that would do is restrict your rights. And you know, so. If you're given a contract midstream of employment, reach out to us, you know, have us review it, because there's likely going to be something there that should kind of perk your curiosity or perk your interest.
Yeah, we always say, you know, it seems counterintuitive to people to go into something like a job without a, you know, a big fat contract in a binder, but it's counterintuitive to think that you shouldn't go in. You'd be better off with a handshake or something on a napkin for sure. So just keep that in mind if you're listening to the show this afternoon. By the way, you can phone in, talk anytime. We're here to take your calls, right? Toll free 1-877-399-9898. We're live, ready to go. And you can email help@employmentlawyer.ca. We'll try to get some emails a little later on in the hour. But as I mentioned, the main topic for today. So what does an employment lawyer actually do? First point, Darren, give me this. Helps you get everything you are owed, even if you are let go. How do you go about doing that?
So there's a number of ways that you know, we go about assisting people with what they're owed when they're terminated, John. Part of it is looking at what they're, you know, if they've got an employment contract, because many employers do put those in place, you know, we look and see what's spelled out in the employment contract. You know, the analysis doesn't end there. There are other things people are given as employment involves. They get bonuses. They get, you know, share options sometimes. They get benefit amounts. They get pension contributions. I mean, there are a number of things. So when you're looking at, you know, getting everything you're owed, it's not just your salary. It's not just your wages, or your hourly rate or whatnot over a certain period of time. It's everything that forms part of your compensation. You know, there, like I said, there's bonuses that are sometimes included in that, pension contributions. You know, if there's RRSP matching, a lot of people have very creative packages. The biggest one that I see the most often is bonuses. Is people are saying, right, well, you know, I was terminated, you know, just before getting my bonus. And depending on the situations, you know, we can help you get that bonus. So it's, you know, something we do look into. It is something that is not a real straightforward answer. It's very fact specific, but, you know, we basically get you anything you're owed, any part of your compensation, and all parts of your compensation.
And it really is at that point. I mean, if you're looking at getting more than what's laid out in this, in your severance package when you're let go, I mean, people say, well, Darren, I could just go in, you know, the employer knows me. I'll just say, no, I've you know, I know I should get more. I should get this, and this. Give it to me. It doesn't have any gravitas going in without an employment lawyer, number one, because you just won't be taken. They can say, no, we're not going to give it to you. What are you going to do about it? You have no recourse because you're not a lawyer. Number two, is it not true that you, even still thinking you may go in and get more, you may still undercut yourself? You may not know what you're actually owed. You know what I mean? You may do yourself an injustice, right?
Oh, very, very much so. Right? And the thing I've had people ask me that very same question, you know, why do I need to go in with an employment lawyer? Why can't, you know, I listen to your guys' shows. They're great resources. I've learned quite a bit. Why can't I go in with that? Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is if your employer wanted to give you that out of the gate, they would have given it to you. Right? There, sometimes it's a matter of the employer not knowing what they're supposed to be giving you. And then they need someone with some measure of authority, you know, such as an employment lawyer, letting them know, you know, hey, you tried to do maybe a good thing here, but hey, you're coming up short. And this is where we come in to inform you what so-and-so's, you know, your employees' actual entitlements are. Other cases that they full well know. And they, you know, it's a numbers game a lot of the time, right? They full on bank on you not knowing your rights or you not knowing your full entitlement and coming in and saying, well, I'm not owed the bonus because it's, you know, not payable for 6 months. And under my contract, I only get 3 weeks of severance. And the employer may say, oh, okay, we'll give you an extra week or 2 weeks to you know, make you happy and you can go away. We're being very generous. When in fact, you know, that situation's actually happened. That's where I'm drawing that from is when it happened, that person was owed over 12 months of severance, including a bonus. And that's what they walked away with. And so, you know, going in with just, you know, part of the knowledge may only get you part of what you're owed. Where we, I think, bring the benefit is we make sure that you are getting everything you're owed, all your entitlements.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
You betcha. It is that time to grab a phone. If you have questions, bring it on now. That number exactly toll-free, 1-877-399-9898 to get on air with Darren and myself. Email is help@employmentlawyer.ca. And just before the break, we were talking about arming yourself with as much knowledge as you can, but even though you'll still want to call Darren and have a lawyer on your side, more can be had at pocketemploymentlawyer.ca, pocketemploymentlawyer.ca, a variety of topics, which we cover weekly on the show. You'll also have free access to the severance calculator, which does exactly what you think it does. It calculates your severance to a much more accurate number than the one that the former employer is going to put at the bottom of your severance package. So use that before you sign back anything for sure. pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. But our main topic for today, we're talking about what exactly does an employment lawyer do? How can that help you? They can also, Darren, help you deal with changes to the terms of your employment, because that can be kind of tricky to deal with too, right?
Oh, very much so. And this is something that we're seeing, you know, coming in and you know, going into and coming out of the pandemic, I guess. This is something we're seeing more and more often is people getting substantial and sometimes insubstantial changes to their employment. The biggest one I've seen, the most common one I've seen is remote work. I've seen people who were, you know, in office prior to the pandemic and people who were remote during the pandemic at that point. And then now the, you know, the companies are saying, well, you know, we want you to come back and that's what we're, that's what, how we're going to be operating moving forward. You know, that's a big one that we've seen. And so I've had a lot of people call me just about, can the employer do this? You know, can my employer make me come back? Can my employer say, drop my pay? I've seen that before. Can my employer restrict my bonuses? Can my employer force me to work in the office, force me to work from home, force me to travel for work? And a lot of these are specific questions. You know, if you've got an employment contract, what's spelled out in there may control what occurs with your employment, you know, but people come to us with these questions, come to us with the, you know, the employment contracts and the changes. And we do sometimes work in the background with them to help them understand what their employer's doing and whether they're allowed to do that and navigate those. And sometimes we come out and actually deal with the employer directly just to say, listen, you can't do this, or this is what so-and-so is willing to do. So, you know, we do get involved in that quite a bit.
And again, guys, any time over the remainder of the hour to call in, talk to us, ask some questions, toll-free, always invited, 1-877-399-9898. In that regard, we'll get to Sharon, who's been standing by patiently for a couple minutes. Sharon, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. Thank you for taking the time. What's up?
Of course.
This is a question for someone who lives in Saskatchewan. Can you help someone in Saskatchewan?
Yes. Sharon?
You can.
So Sharon, right now we operate, our firm operates in BC, Ontario, and Alberta.
Right.
You know, employment laws do differ across the country, but it also depends on what type of work you have going on, whether you're working only in Saskatchewan or you're working for a company outside of the jurisdiction, you're working in Alberta or BC or whatnot. You know, we do have tons of contacts as well. And so I always, you know, I've had people call me from Manitoba, from Newfoundland, and I just say, give us a call. We can always talk. And if we can't help you, given your situation, we can always maybe refer you to someone who can.
Could I quickly tell you the situation, or is it better?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
thank you. I did look up employment standards for Saskatchewan and learned a little bit, but our friend has been working for about 14 years for a private school. He's been working in janitorial services, and it's been part-time most of the time. So they are now trying to get rid of him. They've said all kinds of things about him, that he's this, he's done this, and there's no proof to anything. And now they have sent him via email a letter, and they say he has till Tuesday, May the 2nd, to sign it, and they're offering him $7,000. And he also has to sign a non-disclosure piece of paper or something. So far, he has not signed anything.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, I'm sure he's owed more than $7,000, but... Is there anything he can do?
Well, so Sharon, that's like I said, I'm not familiar with the employment standards in Saskatchewan, or if your friend has a contract or whatnot, if there's any restrictions. But I can speak to you generally about this, because this is something that happens all the time.
Right.
You know, you're given a deadline by the employer to sign something. Obviously, you're hitting the nail on the head with the non-disclosure. But what that typically also is a release. And if you sign that, you accept the package. And if you accept the package, then there's no way to go back for more compensation.
Right.
I tell everyone who comes across my desk, jurisdiction notwithstanding, it doesn't even matter, talk to an employment lawyer. Definitely get in touch with an employment lawyer immediately to review that package. The reality of it is this, is if you are only getting your minimum entitlements, you are owed those no matter what under employment standards legislation. If you're getting anything extra and you don't sign the package, that's where your risk is. So whether or not he's owed another week, 2 weeks, 3 months, or 6 months, that's what the risk is. And so to really figure out what his entitlements are, I would say have him contact an employment lawyer in Saskatchewan. You can always go to employmentlawyer.ca. My details are up on there. A number of my colleagues are as well. You can also reach out to any number of us, and we can probably refer your friend to someone. You know, it's a tricky situation when you're given that deadline. But once you sign, it is always a personal decision. But once you sign, then that's it. You're typically, you're done. You've accepted that package.
Right.
You've accepted that severance, even if you're owed more. And then you're just stuck with moving forward, unfortunately.
Well, after not being able to prove
it. You can always ask for an extension.
Sorry?
I was going to say, the other thing your friend can do is... No, is that it can ask for an extension.
Okay.
It's to ask for an extension to sign to get some legal advice or to review his options. Is he can always ask for an extension of that deadline by 4 or 5 days or whatnot.
Right.
Most employers will be willing to grant that.
He's not unionized, is he, Sharon?
No, I don't believe so. It's
okay.
A private
Good.
School, but
okay.
They said in this letter, after accusing him of all kinds of things, that he was being let go without cause.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he hasn't done anything wrong, supposedly.
And that sounds exactly right, Sharon. I would say in that case, you know, have him reach out to an employee. I mean, if you just do a quick Google search Saskatchewan, you'll be able to find someone who will be able to give you that assistance 100%. But I think definitely for anyone who's in a situation like that, you know, you always reach out, because especially if they've preface this with some kind of write-up. Again, it's not going to be a, you know, we write you up for all this stuff, and then we want to give you some money to leave quietly. It's probably because they know that their write-ups are going to go nowhere, and they likely know this is a leverage tactic to again, I don't know the situation entirely, but it's likely a leverage tactic to say, well, we've written you up for all this nasty stuff, so accept this small amount of money we're going to pay you. Don't cause an issue and go away. You know,
okay.
So I think that
there
would
you
be,
go.
Yeah,
no,
have a reach
you.
Out definitely.
Thank
All right, Sharon. I'm going to you bet. Enjoy
My
the
pleasure.
Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll give you that phone number so you can call if you need to 1-855-821-5900, or as Darren just said, employmentlawyer.ca. You can go to that website as well. So there you go. One of many situations you're going to come across, and you can call us as well, just like Sharon did. Use that number 1-877-399-9898. We'll get you on air here. We got about a minute and a half before we break, but I want to get back to what an employment lawyer can really do for you. And one of them is help you enforce your rights when coming back from a disability or when your employer won't accommodate your medical restrictions. We'll probably pick it up after the break in a minute, Darren, but at least you can start out on it. That's part of what you do every day, yeah?
Oh, yeah, John. We see this quite often. People come back, they're on disability for any number of reasons, and at a certain point, their doctors and them think, okay, I'm ready to go try out work again. And you go back and your employer says, oh, no, sorry, we don't have a position for you. We're not able to accommodate the changes that your doctor wants to put in place. And in a lot of cases, that is... incorrect. The employer has an obligation to accommodate any, reasonable restrictions your doctor's put in place, such as most people will try to graduate and return to work. The employer is required to make use of that and to say, okay, well, we'll try you out on this and we'll work you back up. There are a number of changes that can occur with employment when you're coming back on an accommodated basis. The key here, and this is probably something we'll pick up right after the break here, is, for an employer to say, we can't accommodate your medical restrictions, it has to be an undue hardship. And that is an extremely high bar, as it should be, to prevent someone from coming back to work. But I think we'll pick that up in a moment here after the break.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
And welcome back to it. Still got lots of time to call us like Sharon did. Get some answers, right? Toll free, 1-877-399-9890. Get on live with us here and ask your questions. Emails can be sent, help@employmentlawyer.ca, and the website anytime when we're not doing the show, but you'll want to learn more and have more contact information, again, free at pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. We were talking about ways an employment lawyer can help you, why you should always call them before you make that first move. Regardless whether it's a severance package or anything to do with your job, always reach out to Darren, get some advice. And we were talking about coming back from disability leave or when your employer won't accommodate your medical restrictions. Disability leave, your doctor has the final say. We know that. They are the gatekeeper of your health, Darren. It's their say whether you're fit to come back or not. It doesn't matter what the insurance company says. It doesn't matter what your employer says. It's all about your doctor. And as far as on the employer's side, as I think you were expanding on, when it comes to the case of accommodation, pretty high threshold for employers. I mean, even higher for a big employer that's got lots of resources. But even your mom and pop shop still have to go to a pretty good extent to accommodate any restrictions that you need, yeah?
Oh, very much so, John. It's a very high threshold, as you said. Typically, in a lot of the cases where it's been found that, the employer actually doesn't have that right, which again is a very slim number of cases, is where bringing you back would require a large expenditure of money. That's really what undue hardship looks at, is are you going to, is bringing you back going to require the employer to pay tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And if that's the case, then you may be in a situation where they don't have to accommodate. And then how that's dealt with, again, it's not a simple matter. Even in situations like that, it may be that you then can't go back to work and you look to start transitioning out. And your long-term disability, if you're on that, on a disability leave, they may come into play there as well. But in most cases, I would say, the vast majority of cases, when you come back, it's not going to be a large sum of money the employer has to expend to bring someone back from disability leave. It's, maybe a graduated return of hours. Maybe it's some ergonomics, a different chair, computer stuff, things like that. Very simple and straightforward things that almost any employer can put forward and can do, and that they're required to. And so, if you're in a situation where your doctor says, yeah, you can go back to work, but there's these minor or these some accommodations that need to be made and your employer pushes back, reach out, call us. Because in 9 times out of 10, I'll say it's things that your employer will have to provide and we can help you. Whether it's with getting your employer on board or helping you, negotiate a severance package in that case.
Yeah. And by the way, as Darren just mentioned, to reach out, you can anytime we're not doing the show, 1-855-821-5900, help@employmentlawyer.ca to do exactly that. Something else that, Darren, an employment lawyer like Darren can do as a lawyer for you as an employee is help you respond to your employer if they're starting to build up a case against you with bad performance reviews. It's kind of like what Sharon mentioned with her friends as a janitor. You're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. They were trying to build that case up before they let them go. That's what was happening there, right? But again, don't sit back and take it. Call you ahead of time, right?
Oh, definitely. I tell people if your employer is starting to take a look at you in that regard, give us a call right away. Don't wait until you're 2 or 3 performance reviews deep, because there might be an issue at that point that is, more difficult to get over. I always tell people there's very few cases that are, present an insurmountable, odds that we can't get over. But you know, when you start to get written up, that's usually an indication that either your employer is starting to look at you, especially if it's out of the ordinary. You know, I've had people, you know, following COVID, I think this has been the biggest change for employment everywhere. I've seen a lot more longer service people being written up, people in their 50s, in their 60s who have been places for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. 30 years and who are now being written up for, you know, the most minor of things or things that have been going on for the last 5 or 10 years or 15 years that the employer's now like, well, no, sorry, this is now an issue for us. Irrespective of you've been doing this and this is how we've operated for the last 10 years, this is now an issue we need to deal with and writing you up. In most cases, a single write-up won't be enough to terminate you for cause. And you know, I know we throw that, you know, term around without cause and cause. The real distinction to know here is if you're terminated for cause, the employer will not owe you severance. But just like with failing to accommodate someone coming back from a disability leave, the bar for cause is very high. It is a very difficult threshold to meet. If you've been terminated for cause, I help people like this routinely. I like cause cases because they are difficult in terms of the employer has already, say, formed an opinion of your conduct. And a lot of the times I found that opinion is incorrect. They think things like performance issues. If you're not good at your job and they write you up once, they can terminate you for cause. No. Even if you're not good at your job, according to the employer, and they decide to terminate you, they still owe you severance. They still owe you your appropriate and legal severance. And like you've said before, John, that could be up to 24 months. You know, when it comes to building a case against someone, you know, if your employer is doing that and they have a progressive discipline policy, they do things like, we'll give you one verbal write-up, you know, 3 written write-ups, and then you're terminated. And you're terminated for cause at that point. Don't wait until the last write-up to come talk to me. Because if they have a policy, and if all of the write-ups are legit, you could be terminated for cause and not owed severance. But if you come to us early enough, I've helped many people navigate their way around that, you know, as far as, you know, responding to the employer, as far as looking at the actual write-ups. You know, there's certain things that have to be in place. They have to not only write you up, but give you time and the ability to address the issue you were written up for. They can't write you up. And I've seen this before where someone gets written up 5 times in 5 days for the same thing. And then is terminated. Well, it may seem nice for the employer, but it doesn't work like that. And you know, that the individual that happened to, I was able to help, and we were able to get him the severance he was owed. And so always reach out earlier, the better.
Well, yeah, because and we said on the show many times that both for you and when you're saying something to your employer, silence is the same as acceptance. It does you no good to sit quietly and not respond to your employer, you know, saying, no, I disagree with this, this, and this, what you've written up here. I disagree with that, that, and that. If you don't say anything and, you know, 6 months or a year goes by, it's a bit of a tougher fight, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. You know, silence is the same as accepting in a lot of these cases. Like you said, especially if you're looking at 6 to 12 months, a lot of performance reviews, people, you know, the employer will try to make you sign it. To acknowledge it, and they'll say, well, this is just to acknowledge it. But unfortunately, when you look at that, say 6 months down the road, there's nothing there saying this is to acknowledge it. This is you accepting it. And so I've told people generally, if that happens, to sign it. If you are going to sign it, I my first advice is typically not to sign them. But if you're in a position where you have to, you know, sign it and say, you know, I don't agree with this, but I'm signing to acknowledge that this has been discussed. And then see us right away. See us before you get to that point if you can. But if this comes out of the blue, you know, either don't sign or see us right away. Make it clear. Make it clear that you are not accepting that, especially if you disagree with the reason you're being written up.
Again, still lots of time to call in, ask your questions live on air. Join the show toll free, 1-877-399-9898. Again, an employment lawyer like Darren can help you review, understand, and negotiate your employment agreement. We talked about that right off the top of the show. Having no agreement is excellent, but if you're either given one before you start a job or mid-employment, do not even put pen to paper at all. Give Darren a call, because that's key, right? That could affect your future in a big way, right?
Oh, very much. You know, if you're given one, especially midstream of employment, you've been working for 6 months or a year or something like that, and you're given an employment agreement, there's nothing good that's going to come from that. typically, you know, the first place I tell people to turn, see if there's a termination clause in there. See if it's different if you've already signed a contract. See if it's different than the one you signed. Typically, if it's different than the one you signed, this new one is probably enforceable. Your employer's probably gone to a lawyer, and the lawyer has said, oh, that, you know, your old termination clause is not enforceable. So you signing this new agreement, you know, is only there to prejudice your rights, is to restrict your rights. You know, so reach out to us. Even before you, you know, I tell people when I talk to them all the time, if you start new employment, you know, people I've helped get severance, I say, hey, when you've started new employment or before you do that and you get a contract, send it over to me. Let's have a chat. We review those all the time.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
All righty, we are back. Indeed, a few minutes to go. 1-877-399-9898. That's what's going on. Emails help at employmentlawyer.ca. Couple more talking points when it comes to, you know, how does an employment lawyer really help me? Should I be making that phone call to Darren? Yes, you always should. Though, if for instance, this one, which is, if you can believe, it's still an issue in the workplace even now, but it's true, helps you deal with workplace harassment by either your supervisor or even a coworker for that matter. Darren, tell me about it.
If you're in a situation where you are, you know, being harassed or whatnot by a supervisor or, you know, an owner of a company, a direct supervisor, even someone at the same level, as you in the organization, you do have recourse. You know, the first thing I always tell people is, you know, if you have an HR department, a lot of companies don't, but if you do, report it to HR. Report the harassing conduct to HR, have them step in, unless you're comfortable dealing with the individual yourself. You know, if it's a friend at work, you can say, listen, I've got some issues with this, please stop doing this. And if they persist, report it to HR, report it to someone in the company. You know, the company is required to take action. You know, this falls under the jurisdiction, harassment, you know, things like that, falls under the jurisdiction of WorkSafe BC. In BC, at least, same as Alberta, same as Ontario, there is workplace legislation in place to prevent you from being harassed in the workplace. And if you are, there are things that can be done. You know, there may be leaves you're taking, you can get coverage for lost wages, you know, but the base of it is, and it could lead to a termination, especially if you report it to the company, and the company does nothing. And you know, I've had a situation where that's happened, you know, for example, the owner of a company who had sent you know, pornographic pictures to other employees. It was a group of them, and you know, perhaps it started out in good fun or whatnot, but that became an issue for one of the people in the group, and they didn't know what to do. And so, you know, they report that. They, you know, first started dealing with the owner and said, you know, I'm not okay with this. This is, you know, evolved from, you know, fun photos and memes and stuff like that and jokes to something that is quite different from than what I, you know, consented to in the first place. And when that, you know, if that conduct doesn't stop, you report it to an HR associate. And if you don't have an HR, you can go straight to WorkSafe. WorkSafe will come in and they will investigate. And if there is harassment, there's a number of steps they can take. You know, and it may be, and I always tell people, come talk to us when that happens. Because even if WorkSafe gets involved, you know, there may be sensitivity training for that person, but it may have progressed to a point, and this has happened in a few cases I've dealt with, where the person says, I can't go back there. I reported this. I was so uncomfortable. I couldn't see, you know, couldn't stand going into work every day. And the company just took my concerns and ignored them. And like, why would I want to work for an employer like that? And made me feel like the bad person, right? And, you know, for having reported that when it was, you know, quote unquote, all in good fun. You know, completely unacceptable. If that happens, you call us. You may, you know, we'll negotiate your way out. You know, we may be able to, you know, assist you with a severance package. The employer has a duty to assist you if you're in a situation like that. If you're being harassed, if you're being, you know, bullied at work or anything like that, your employer, you know, has to help you, has to take action.
And that number again, guys, you got a few minutes to call in. Feel free to do it. Drop us a line. Talk on air, toll free, 1-877-399-9898. And finally, how can Darren help you? Well, help you understand your post-employment obligations. What exactly does that mean, pal?
So post-employment obligations, you'll often find in cases where you've got an employment contract, and even if you don't, there are certain things that still follow you after you finish employment with someone. A lot of the times, you'll have people in, like a recent one I had actually, I'll use this as a great example. A recent person I assisted with their severance, they were a high-ranking individual in the company. They were in the C-suite, as we call it. So they were a chief financial officer. They obviously had access to very sensitive information of the company, not only strategies, but things like vendors, confidential information. And when you're in an industry, any industry, and you're in a top level or higher level supervisory, even management position, you will have access to information, strategies, and tactics that your company uses that competitors may want to get a hold of. You have to be careful. You are in a lot of cases, you are bound by either contractual in your employment contract or common law obligations. So just obligations at law, not to divulge confidential information to other parties. And that's something to be very aware of, because if you know something from company A, let's say marketing tactics, and their marketing, this is a common one that you see, marketing tactics, demographics, who they target, because they're doing great in the market. And another company says, hey, I wish I was doing as good as them. Let's poach this person and get all their secrets. If you do that and your old company suffers damages, they can come after you. If you give away all their secrets, the secrets to what they do and how they become so successful, and they then lose that, they can come after you. So if you're in a situation like that, reach out to us and let's have a chat about if you're concerned about either leaving your employment or if you're being terminated, to understand what those obligations that are being placed on you are. Even in situations where you've got, where you've resigned. That's been a something that's come up recently. If you're resigning and you've got a resignation clause in your contract, if you have an employment contract, call us and speak to us, because there may be requirements for you to adhere to that, to give the company a certain amount of notice to ensure that they don't suffer any kind of damage with you leaving. For example, if you're a key individual in a contract and you just drop one day and they lose a ton of money, you don't want to place yourself at risk. Come speak to us and let us, navigate you through that. Because there are very murky waters there, and the results can be very damaging.
Let's get to an email or two as we get through the hour. Beth is up first. Says, hey guys, my husband works in construction. He has never been laid off in 10 years, but his employer just gave him notice of a layoff, saying he may be called back end of May, June. What can he do?
So that's a great question, and Beth, I'm sorry to hear about what your husband's gone through. A key point here is, that I want to hit on is he hasn't been laid off in 10 years, and so he has never consented to a layoff before. The big thing is if you are put on a layoff and it's not a term of your contract, if you have that contract, if it's not a term of your contract that you're allowed to be laid off, this could be considered a constructive dismissal. This could be considered a termination of his employment if he doesn't agree to it. Now, the fact that he's, being called back in May, he can obviously take the employer at his word and not take that as a termination of his employment and simply wait. There are, timelines in place that you can only be laid off, in BC, for example, for 13 of 20 weeks. And then the law may consider you automatically terminated. So if you are in a place where you're facing a potential layoff, it's fact dependent as well. It's very fact specific as well. And so reach out to us and have a chat about what your rights and entitlements may be, which you may be agreeing to. And in this case, if let's say Beth's husband does want to agree to the layoff this once, make it clear you're doing it just once and you're not giving your employer the right to continuously lay you off over the next, over the next 10 years. And so something like a communication saying, I'll agree to be laid off until May, but only this once. Something like that to help you protect your rights, because you don't want to give your employer the right to just continuously lay you off.
Let's get a last quick call here in the last minute or two of the show. We'll get to Stacy. Stacy, thank you so much for calling in. What's your question? We just missed Stacy. She just let go. Stacy, you can always call us after the show, by the way. Want to get to Frank here. I guess one final email says, guys, my former employer found out that I'm working for a competitor of theirs and is now threatening to take legal action against me. any quick advice?
So yeah, that kind of ties into what we were just talking to before we hit that last email there, is that if you're, you know, simply working for a competitor is not enough in most cases to have legal action taken against you. If you've stolen business, for example, that may be a cause for concern. If you've, you know, developed a relationship and were priming a contract for your first employer and then jumped over to another employer, that could be a problem. So Frank, I think if your former employer has reached out to you, reach out to us. It really depends on the situation, what kind of legal action they're looking at taking. You know, I would say don't communicate with them at this point. Just say, you know, reach out to us as soon as you can to get an understanding of what your risks and rights could be in this situation. That's a sticky one to be in, Frank.
And with that, we are pretty much wrapping it up for the day. You want to reach out to Darren and his team now, always advised to do so. You can call in on Monday, right, as soon as you can do that. That number, again, 1-855-821-5900, 1-855-821-5900. Email is help@employmentlawyer.ca. And always go there first, the website, pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. You'll have access to the severance calculator as well. And we'll catch you next time right here on the Employment Law Show. Enjoy your week.
The proceeding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.